All right, here we go.
Here we go. Oh, wait, I should probably start recording.
Yeah, do that.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck? It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your reigning, defending, undisputed Stanley Cup champions of the world, the Washington Capitals. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, what a whirlwind week it has been for the Caps. We got good news, we got bad news, we got a little bit of a potential clinching of playoff spots. Lots going on in Caps world. Let's jump right into it. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. How you doing?
Feeling good. I'm a little bummed that the Caps didn't clinch last night when they were up against Carolina, but a lot of people were okay with it because that meant that the Islanders had to take a loss last night against Columbus, so we kind of get a little bit more of a lead in the division, but the Caps looks like they're going to clinch pretty soon. That's really good news. What really sucks, though, let's get the bad news out of the way first. Michael Kempney went down last week during a game that we were actually recording during that game, so we didn't get to cover it last week. But Michael Kempney went down. It looked like a bad injury. News comes out from Todd Reirden. It looks like it's a long-term injury.
They had to cut the leg off.
He is a one-legged man now.
The leg is gone, but he thinks he'll be ready for the playoff. I'm being silly. As you were saying, he's out. It looks like for the rest of the season, and likely if he was to come back, it probably wouldn't be until a decent way into the first round, if not the second round.
I mean, they're saying he might miss the playoffs altogether. We really don't know. They're being kind of tight-lipped about it right now, and the Capitals visited the White House on Monday. We saw Kempney in a bunch of pictures. He was on crutches. He had a brace around that knee. So what does it mean to lose Michael Kempney at this point in the season? I mean, he came here on a trade. He kind of lit the world on fire. He was my my winner of the What the Puckies for best defenseman last year. I mean, that's probably a bigger deal to him than the Stanley Cup. So what does it mean for this team to lose Michael Kempney?
It means whoever's putting that stuff in the penalty box that he likes so much is going to have a lot more of it.
Put that in the trainer's room now is what they're going to do.
Yeah, right? It's not great. You know, it just I tweeted this out, and I wasn't the only one that it. You know, that move for Nick Jensen has become so much bigger now, because if you don't have Jensen, then your defensive core is Carlson, Orlov, Niskanen, Orpik, Juice, and likely Sengen Thaler, who was recalled, I think, today?
It was recalled earlier this week, not today.
Because Lewington was recalled first, then he got sent down, and then Sengen Thaler got brought up. I'm vague on the terms. I'm on spring break from where I work, so it doesn't matter anymore. It's not great. It's obviously not great for him. It gives him a chance to rest and recuperate from, you know, what I imagine is some sort of broken or torn something. And it just means more minutes for a guy like Jensen. It means that Orpik is definitely going to be playing every night as opposed to being in and out of the lineup, which kind of makes our conversation, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, about Orpik kind of null and void now, because he's definitely going to be playing every night.
Yeah.
And we'll see how much of that is a good or bad thing going forward in terms of his production and how much he really has left in the tank.
Yeah, Sengen Thaler was recalled on Monday, and then you said
Monday. Yeah. Lewington, I knew, was recalled, but I guess I missed the Sengen Thaler news.
Yeah, I think he was recalled over the weekend, and I think that may have been more of a cap
space issue of what they could spend to bring somebody up. And then on Monday, when they were able to move some things around, that's when Singenthaler came up. Singenthaler was a big impact earlier this year when Juice went down. And I thought it was kind of interesting that they sent him back down and like didn't choose to keep him around a little bit. But now that he's here, like you said, I mean, it's a big deal with Jensen being here, but Singenthaler, I was very impressed with earlier this year. He went down to Hershey, still got some playing minutes there. I'm interested to see what he brings to the table. I mean, there was quite a slump. I think it was end of last year, early this year. He kind of came in. It felt like he was the only one that was really skating fast or had any legs under him. So, as much as we want Kempney in the lineup, and I 100% do, I was very impressed with Singenthaler. I'm very intrigued to see what he's going to bring to the playoffs.
Is he going to be playing in the playoffs?
I think so. Don't you?
Who's going to sit then?
Well, what do we have right now? The line combinations. Let's look at that.
I have to imagine something along the lines of, and this is probably not in particular, but Niskanen, Carlson, Orlov, Jensen are probably your top four, which puts Orpik and Juice together.
Okay. Well, I think you're going
to my guess.
You might be trading out Juice and Singenthaler every game, every other game maybe, or something like that.
See, can you do that in the playoffs, though? I feel like, you know, if you find a lineup that works. I can see if they go in and it's not working and they decide to make a change, I get that. But if you have one that works, don't mess with it now.
I mean, Juice did do really well last year in the playoffs, so I mean, we'll see what he brings to the team this year. But I don't know. I think you're going to see Singenthaler on the ice for a little bit. I don't know. Juice would be the only guy I think.
That's a lot to put on him. I know he's played well when he played in regular season, but that's a very different animal than the playoffs. You know.
That's true. That's true.
That would just make me a bit nervous if he was to, you know, if I'm him.
You're a pretty anxious guy.
Pooping myself. But I don't know. I think Juice got a lot of experience last year. I think if he's playing well, you don't mess with it. I think if it doesn't work and there's some problems and someone's playing poorly or gets injured or something like that, then Singenthaler's coming in. And at that point, you're just kind of like, all right, kid, good luck. But I think at this point, you have someone there in the event that someone goes down, and you want someone there in the event they go down during warmups or they go down, you know, right before the game or during the day, given that Hershey's not that far away, but you still want someone relatively nearby. So I think it makes sense to have him. I kind of would rather he stay in Hershey and get some more minutes to help them on their push towards the playoffs. But for right now, it's fine.
If the Caps clinch, within the next, there's five games left. So if the Caps clinch in the next game or the game after, do you see Singenthaler maybe subbing in for Niskanen or Orpik or somebody that they kind of want to give them a breather, some rest before the playoff push?
Yeah. I'm trying to like in my head real quick, be like, hold on, if they clinch here and then they're playing this team. So let's say hypothetically they clinch in the game against Carolina, which I think, and I 100% am not backing up my words I'm about to say because I don't know if this is actually true. But I think if the Caps win, that puts them – I know this. If the Caps win, that puts them at 100 points. I'm looking at the standings right now. I know that. But Carolina – I'm sorry. Columbus is the one we have to worry about. Columbus would only be able to get to 100 as well. So if Columbus was to lose their next game, I believe the Caps then clinch because then Columbus can only get to a total of 98 points. So anyways, if the Caps were to clinch, then I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe not against Tampa, because that's you kind of want to send a message to them as you're likely to face them in the playoffs at some point. If you get that far, if you can get out of your division. You know, going into Florida, I think there's a good shot. I think that they're going to have some turmoil in terms of Florida just because whether they're making a playoff push or not, which I don't think is going to be possible because they can only get a total of 10 more points. Huh, the NHL website doesn't actually have an indication as to whether who's out.
Yeah, the NHL, I was going to let you finish.
They're indicating who's in and who's won the President's Trophy, but not if you're eliminated. Like, Ottawa is so far out, they can't even see the team that's currently fighting for a playoff spot. We can talk about their – oh, I forgot to put that in the notes for later and around the NHL and their owner and how he's a psychopath. But anyways, he's not a psychopath. He's just kind of an a-hole.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes, I could see against Florida, Montreal – probably not the Islanders the last game of the season because you likely want to send a message to them. I could see Singenthaler getting a game over Orpik or if like Carlson or Niskanen or Orlov have like a nagging little thing that they're like, you know what, we'll give you a day off, an additional day off to rest it. I could see him getting a game or two going forward, but it depends again on when they clinch.
The NHL is terrible with trying to give you information of who can clinch, who can't, until like the day of the game. Because, I mean, the last couple of weeks, I'm like, all right, what do the Caps have to do? Well, who are they going to face? Yada, yada, yada. The NHL gives you zero information about that until like the day it happens that, oh, yeah, by the way, they might clinch tonight. So it really annoys me. There should be like a clinch counter or something like that on their website saying like, this is the opportunities that, the team's going to need or whatever. So, I mean, I hate that, but. Anyway, that's my own personal.
And they used to do it, though.
They used to. They don't anymore, so I don't
know. There's a little, like, was it the letter Y? I think it used to be. Or is it E? No, it was an E. It was a little E that would go next to their name to show they were eliminated. Because I remember when the Caps sucked, I hated seeing that. And I was like, aw, they're out. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Tanga Thaler get a game or two, but I also feel like it's kind of a waste having him up here because he could be playing in Hershey every night instead of just sitting and watching. But there's some benefits to being up and being around the guys in the NHL, and so he's getting some off the ice experience, which is always a good thing.
All right, now something else we got to bring up. The Caps are up against Carolina on Tuesday, and right now, if the playoffs were to start, that is who they would be facing in the first round. So, Coach, let me ask you, what did you think of the Capitals and their play against Carolina? This season so far, they're 3-0-0 against Carolina, so that's a good thing. And they got a pretty decisive win this past Tuesday. So, I mean, I know the playoffs are a whole different beast and kind of players go into a different mode, but how do you think these two teams match up?
Carolina has been on quite the run, and I think when you go and you look at the regular season, how you did against another team, I don't necessarily take that into real any consideration for how the playoffs will go, because the playoffs is such a different story. I think that the Caps have a lot of experience, whereas Carolina, I have to go and look at their roster, aside from Justin Williams, don't necessarily have a ton of playoff experience. I guess Williams and Jordan Staal. Just quickly going through their roster to see who else they may have. That guy's first name is Dougie. He's got a silly name. I think it's a good matchup. I think Carolina is an up and coming team that certainly made a nice push this year that no one really expected. And I'd be worried about the Caps overlooking them. I think there's a bit of a, it kind of reminds me, there's a bit of similarities, I think, in terms of their seasons between them and Columbus from last year. So I don't want to go down 2-0 to them in the playoffs, should that be the case, or should they make it, and should the Caps face them. So I think that the Caps need to relax, they need to just kind of play their game. They can't go in and be like, yeah, we beat up on them in the regular season. It's like, good for you. You don't get a trophy for that.
Well, I think that they did that 2 years ago when they were up against Toronto. I think they kind of thought that they were invincible. And Toronto almost took them out in the first round. You know, they were overly confident, and it kind of
bit
them in the butt.
A little bit.
So, I wasn't going to bring this up, but what the hell.
Oh, no.
What do you think about the whole Don Cherry thing? Calling everybody.
Oh, I'm glad you brought it up because it's in my notes.
Well,
I was going to bring it up if you didn't.
Don Cherry calls the Carolina Hurricanes.
He's an idiot!
A bunch of jerks. And then he calls Yevgeny Kuznetsov for celebrating like a bird, calls him a jerk. Does Don Cherry, like, look at himself in the mirror when he's getting ready for work and sees the suits he's wearing? He's talking about people like bringing attention to themselves. What are you doing complaining about this kind of stuff? This makes the game fun. I don't know. Well, what do you think about this whole thing?
Well, first things first, can someone get Don Cherry a thesaurus? Because his inability to come up with a different word to insult team or a player that he doesn't like in terms of what they're doing is a little bit sad. Like, you can't think of another word besides calling someone a jerk or saying that they're a bunch of jerks. Like, there's so many other clever ways. It's not like he went on the air and someone was like, what'd you think of it? And he was like, what was it? He had clearly had time to be like, hold on, let me Google another word for jerk. Just see what he could come up with. So aside from his lack of creativity, you know what it is? He's spending too much time in terms of being creative about his suits that he can't think of new words. He's a moron. He may know more about hockey than, or have forgotten more about hockey than I'll ever learn, but that doesn't necessarily not make you a moron as a person, where you're going to come out and you're going to attack people for having fun and make fun for the audience or for the fans in the crowd. Which, by the way, when they start doing this goofy stuff, they start to play a whole lot better. So I think there's definitely a connection between those two things in regards to Carolina. And then Kuznetsov, God forbid he do something that maybe makes him stand out a little bit, and a celebration for that his daughter, or it's for his daughter, is a way of something that she really likes. So he's not like he's going and he's giving everyone else on the other team a middle finger as he goes by the bench. You know, it's not the scene from, oh my God, I'm totally blanking on the freaking movie right now. What is wrong with me? Brandon, movie. I can't think of words right now. Dave Chappelle. F you, you're cool. Oh my God, what's wrong with me?
Half-baked?
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Like, it's not like Kuznetsov's going down the other team's bench after he scores and is doing that scene from Half-Baked, right? He's just doing a little bird celebration. It's not even a big deal. Don Cherry must hate watching the NFL, because anytime anybody scores in the NFL, there's some sort of, like, a dance maneuver. He must be sitting there just, like, so angry. You know what it is? He's he's anger from Inside Out. That's Don Cherry. Or he's just fire coming out of his ears and his hair and everything going on anytime someone does anything interesting. They're not a good old Canadian boy, then they're not worthy of his attention, how they should be playing in the NHL. Screw him. He's an idiot. So, well, I like Kuznetsov. Basically, Kuznetsov told him to shut his mouth, and he's right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, this kind of stuff makes the game fun. It's enjoyable. I don't understand. Like, you get a goal, you're going to be excited. Do the bird, Sally. Go ahead. He got him his own bobblehead doing that. So
he doesn't even do it every. He doesn't do it every time he scores.
No, I mean, he does. I think whenever he scores, he tries to do it as much as possible because his daughter gets mad if he doesn't. But so if he would have,
as anyone's working with kids, especially that young, if you could do something real simple like that to make them happy, like, do it.
Now he could have just Googled synonym for jerk, and he would have come up with fool, idiot, halfwit, nincompoop, buffoon, dunce, dolt, ignoramus.
Yeah, right? Like, idiot.
Moron, dope, ninny, chump, dimwit, nitwit, goon, dummy, dum-dum. We like that one on this show.
Dum-dum. Yeah, well, everybody's we like calling people dum-dums.
Bonehead, fathead, numbskull, dunderhead, chucklehead.
Fathead.
I know, that's weird. Pudding head, that's a good one. Airhead.
Now I'm hungry.
Pinhead, lame brain.
I'm getting some pudding.
This is perfect for Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Bird brain.
Yeah, I was just like,
bird brain.
No, because then he'd be playing along with the thing, so he's not going to do that. He could have been like, hey, Don, what do you think of Kuznetsov in this bird cell? He's an idiot. You shouldn't do that, right? Like, that's so easy, instead of using the same word. Hey, screw Don Cherry. He's a putz. He's an old cantankerous cranky man who can't change. He wants things his way, and he wants people to get off his lawn.
Right.
Screw him.
Well, that's Don Cherry. So I think what I'm going to do is just name this episode a bunch of the jerk synonyms.
No, what we should do is Don Cherry is a, and then a bunch of the synonyms. put him in there. I mean, you know what? Maybe we'll get some attention.
Maybe. Who knows? But
going back to the important things in right. The Washington Capitals.
So in the last game against Carolina, there pretty much the lines were the same, except for there was a jumble between the second and third line where Carl Hagelin moved up to the second line. And not surprising that he already moved up to the second line the short time since the trade. And Jakub Vorana was bumped down to the third line. Now, there was a lot of people talking about why this may have happened. Jakub Vorana, he's been absolutely fantastic this season. I would even say he's in the running for MVP of what the Puckies at the end of the year for me. I thought he's been great. This isn't this isn't a demotion of Verana, right? This is more of a Haglund's moving up to help out that second line, which has been having a little bit of trouble. So what's your take? Why the switch up? Was it a demotion for Verana? What's your thinking of this?
I think you had it right. It's just kind of a shifting of resources in terms of putting Haglund in a spot that might be able to help out that second line. I don't think it's a demotion, as you say, even though technically I guess you could say it is on paper. But he's got 45 points in 77 games. He's got 22 goals, which puts him third on the team in goals behind Ovechkin and Oshie. He's only one behind Oshie in terms of goals. And he's played more games than Oshie, so never mind. When did Ovechkin miss a game? Oh, right, because he got suspended for the one. I forgot about that. Anyways, so no, I think it's just sort of a readjustment of some of the resources. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. When I read it, I was like, huh. And then the more I thought, I was like, nah, you know what? It's really not that big a deal. You know, I think they're still going to play well. I don't think it necessarily is going to affect the team negatively. Let me go back and look at their minutes on that game.
I think it has more to do with the fact that, like, Yevgeny Kuznetsov has been struggling a little bit this season, and I think they were just going to kind of see if there was anything there. Put Haglund with Kuzi, see if that kind of...
Kuzi on the first line?
No, Kuzi's centering the second.
I must have missed that.
So I think that has more to do with that, because, I mean, I don't like the fact that he's breaking up Haglund and Eller, because I think the two of them have gelled, but I think they're kind of just like, well, you know, he gelled so well with Eller in such a short time, maybe there's something there with him and Kuznetsov.
Yeah, I mean, I think if a team is struggling, you kind of mix things up a little bit, just to see what you can get to work. I'm trying to bring up the freaking things from the Carolina game, and it's not working. Because in Philly, Verana only had just over nine minutes of ice time, whereas Haglund had 15, just under 16 minutes, actually. Against Carolina, Verana had 14:37, Haglund had 13:14. So even though Haglund got moved up a line, Verana ended up having more minutes. Some of that could be for the power play, though. So that might be why he had a little bit more minutes. But, I don't think moving them around is necessarily going to hurt anything. I don't think Verana's sitting there being like, hey, he put me down a line.
Right.
I'm so mad. No, he's probably like, whatever. He's going to go get another tattoo.
Verana, he's a 20-goal scorer, if I'm not mistaken.
22,
there you go. I mean, that's not bad for him. He's super fast. He's got wheels. I mean, he's doing everything right. So I don't see this as a demotion. I see this just kind of like, I think it's more about Haglund and what kind of chemistry there might be.
Yeah, just moving the guys around, seeing what might work a little bit better. I don't think it necessarily is to hurt anything. Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, so if Kuznetsov was on the second line, didn't he just get 3 points, 3 assists in the Carolina game?
Yes.
So something worked there.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because this is bobblehead night, though. Maybe it was like, there's a bunch of birds of me in the crowd now. That didn't make any sense.
I mean, they are going for about bird. 45 to 60 bucks on eBay.
You're not selling for 90. I was like, it was during the game, by the way.
But so I got
to
say,
they go to the game and then they're like, I got to put this thing on eBay real fast.
Yeah, the pictures from it in the seat is hilarious. But I got to say, missed opportunity to not have the arms bobble instead of the head.
I thought it was going to be. I was genuinely surprised that it wasn't. Hold on, I'm looking it up on eBay again to see what it's cost. But I'm looking at my Joel Reklich bobble fist Hershey Bears one. And which, by the way, the Hershey Bears logo and their jerseys are just, they're very nice. Just want to point that out. I still haven't been to a Bears game in forever. Where's my Bears? Oh, you know what? Since we've moved, my jerseys are nowhere near me anymore. So I can't just like grab a jersey real fast and throw it on in the middle of us recording. Yeah, I kind of thought that the arms were going to bobble. But then it would kind of look more like a G.I. Joe figurine than like a bobblehead. Like you look at it, it'd be like you can see me on the camera where it would have been like, it would have looked kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I was supposed to get a Justin Tucker bobble leg a couple years ago after the Ravens won the Super Bowl. Yeah, that was at a Bowie Bay Sox game.
How does that work?
So
that's not even the right sport.
I know, but Justin Tucker's the kicker, so they were doing a bobble leg. But the girl and I
want to find that now too.
Yeah, it's hard to find. It really is. I've been looking because the girl and I got there like 15 minutes after gates opened. They were sold out of a minor league team. Like 1,500 were sold out already. She complained, yelled at some people, and got one. I did not get one since I did not yell at anyone. But
wait, they were just like holding on to extra ones in the back?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. I think there were a lot more in the back than they were leading on, but whatever.
I typed in bobble leg and that didn't come up on eBay. Now I'm trying bobble head. How does that work though?
The leg
just like flapping around.
He's in like a kicking motion and the leg just kind of like wiggles there. The head doesn't move.
Oh, that's weird.
His head is a big head, but it doesn't move. And it's just his leg is just kind of flailing about.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. Anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Congratulations to John Carlson are in order after he reached 400 points in his NHL career. I think it was on the assist for Backstrom's empty netter against Carolina, I believe. I might be wrong. And then Ovechkin tied Brendan Shanahan for 13th on the NHL's all-time goal scoring list with his 656th goal. In that, he had goal number 3, I want to say, against Carolina. He's one away from 50 for the season, which he hasn't scored in a while. That was his first one in, I believe, a couple of games. 4 games, maybe? So he's got 5 games to get one. Ideally, more than one. Okay, Kuznetsov bobblehead. Wait, I thought they were in red. It's in white?
I think it's white, yeah.
Why would you put it in the away jersey?
Didn't they? No, that was the other game.
Yeah, that didn't make sense either, but I wasn't going to. When was that? That was
Sunday?
Yeah, I only caught part of that game. Oh, my sister was at that game, actually. She got sitting on 100 level. And she actually, all right, so I got a good story. Here, she'll be happy because we never talk about her on the show. So my sister, Sarah, she went to the game with my friend Mike, and they're sitting on the 100 level. And I think Carlson took. He was dumping the puck, or he took a shot, or something happened, and it went over the boards, over the net, or whatever it was. I don't know exactly where she was sitting. And the puck hit her in the thigh.
Ooh.
And then bounced away, and the people, I think, next to her, in front of her, like a dude and his kid, like maybe teenage son, young teenage son, they ended up collecting the puck because she's got freaking stone hands or something and can't catch. But she apparently has a nice little red mark, or she said she had a red mark. When I saw her later that night, I didn't see anything, but I don't know if I can't remember if she showed me. She said something about her leg. I just remembered I was at a camp fair because I work at a summer camp, and I get a text saying I got hit by a puck, and I'm like, what? And I was like, wait, she's texting me, so she's probably fine, because if something bad happened, I imagine I would have gotten a text or a phone call from my friend.
Did you just respond to her? You should have responded where he said I got hit by a puck. You just go, you got the puck though, right?
Well, like, that was the next thing. I was going to be like, that's cool. Because I remember years ago, back, it was at, I think, then MCI Center. My brother and I went to see the Caps play the Flyers. And we were watching warm-ups, but we were sitting behind the net where the Flyers are warming up. And I guess I wasn't paying enough attention, or I missed it, because a puck landed behind me. But I didn't notice. And so my brother, like, looked behind me and picked it up. And he goes, huh, look what I found. And it was just, like, one of the warm-up pucks. I think he ended up giving it to my sister later on. So let me see. What did I text her after? She's like, I got hit with a puck. All capital letters, because that's how she types. I wrote back, are you okay? See, I'm being nice. A good big brother. And then she said not nice things about the people that got the puck, which I won't repeat because this is a family show. So yeah, what else we have to talk about? Kevin's done. Sherry's a douche. It's not a family show anymore. Ovechkin, Carl. No, that's pretty much it. You know, the Caps are not playing their best right now, and you kind of really want them to do that going to the playoffs, but they still have time to kind of kick it up a notch. They really were playing kind of like their playoff team from last year, and then they've been struggling a little bit. You know, the loss to Tampa is one thing, or two of those losses to Tampa. They, you know, beat up New Jersey. The loss to Minnesota is pretty ugly, but you're like, all right, we beat the Flyers, beat Carolina. Carolina is a playoff team. Flyers are not, even though they still think they are. Minnesota is not. They're fighting for a playoff spot. They're only 2 points out. But you'd like to think they'd be able to do a little bit better against them. So I think these last 5 games of the season are really going to be really telling as to see how this team is going to be going into the playoffs.
I think they're only really telling until the Caps clinch. Because after that, they're not going to be playing hard. They're not going to be
Oh, I think you have to. I mean, I think it's kind of good as they're playing Carolina and Tampa, two teams that they could see in the playoffs. And then they have the Islanders the last game of the season. That could really, you know, be really important for the Islanders. Or because if they continue to struggle, let me see the points totals real quick. If they continue to struggle, they may not be in one of those top three spots. They may end up in the wild card. You know, they still technically can be out. They'd have to like completely bottom out, but they could still be knocked out or not even make the playoffs at this point. So it's not an easy end of the regular season for the Capitals. And I think that's a good thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not an easy end. This is going to be difficult, but how much they're actually going to be, you know, putting forth, I don't know. Once they clinch, I think that
none of us know, but we damn well hope that they're going to wake up.
I think that foot's going to come off the gas a little bit once they clinch, but
that's bad. Don't do that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Don't listen to Brandon, guys.
Don't do it. But anyway, so that's it for what's going on in Caps world. We're going to go down on the farm, but before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Welcome back to the show. Here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 0-2 since we last talked. Yeah, I know. Losing both games to Cleveland. They're currently tied for third in the Atlantic Division, though, in the standings. It's just their fourth.
Is this their first time going against Cleveland this year? Because I don't remember ever bringing them up. I mean, we're all.
I might go back and look, but that's going to take a minute.
Yeah, we're always talking about, like, the Phantoms or Florida or something.
Well, it's the AHL. It's not the NHL. Like, they're not really. I mean, I guess they have. Well, I wonder if they flew or did they take the bus to Cleveland? Because that's pretty far. I don't know.
It's only an hour and a half flight from Baltimore. Actually, it's not even that, to be honest. Like, I watched one episode of The Office, and they're like, all right, we've begun our descent. And I'm like, what? Really?
Why were you flying to Cleveland?
Last summer, I went to the Christmas Story house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went there for my birthday. So I flew to Cleveland, got to check out the house, went there for like a long weekend. Actually, let me tell you, Cleveland, pretty awesome little town.
You a Browns fan now?
Yeah, they're a pretty good. They got a pretty good team. I'm not gonna lie.
You guys are in trouble.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know. The Ravens are. I think rebuild is going to be the term that we're going to be using for the next couple of years.
Enjoy.
No.
No.
I think I'm going to Denver with Joe.
Well, I'm still a quote unquote Skins fan, but I'm a disgruntled Skins fan, but I'm following the Bills as well. And they've apparently had quite the offseason. I've liked a lot of the moves that they've made, even if they did bring in a former Cowboy. It looks like it's going to work out quite nicely.
They got John Brown from the Ravens. He was a fantastic wide receiver when he was working with Joe. The second Lamar got on the field, it was like he was a ghost, just disappeared.
Well, hopefully that works out for us.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so I forgot what I was saying before. Bears went 0-2 since we last talked. They're currently tied for third in the Atlantic Division with 79 points and a record of 36-24-7. They're 7 points back of second place Bridgeport. They'll be back at it on Saturday at the Giants Center against Providence before heading on the road on Sunday to Bridgeport. Now, there's actually a really nice article on the AHL website regarding the Bears and their run as of late. They were, I don't even remember this, they were 16-20-2 at the midpoint of the season, which was on January 12th. They then went on a run of 16-0-1, and they currently have won 20 of their last 29 games, which is freaking ridiculous.
That's insane.
Now, the piece also talks about Samsonov and the season, I should say, he is having Vanecek in his season, as well as the goal scoring of Riley Barber and prospect Garrett Pylon, who was drafted back. I hope it's not Pylon because there's too many easy jokes to make off of that. It's probably like Pylon or something. He was drafted back in 2016. He's got 30 points in 69 games, as well as a few other names to keep an eye on for the future for the Capitals, like Beck Malinston. I don't know how to say it. Anyways, Go ahead and check that out at AHL.com. So I believe it's also on actually on the NHL website where you can find it. Let's head down to South Carolina where the Stingrays went 2-0 with wins over Kansas City and Greenville. They're currently fourth in the South Division with 70 points and a record of 32-30-6, 7 back of second place Orlando. They'll be back at it with two games before next week, starting on Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Orlando, followed up with Sunday's game, which is also at home against Atlanta. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, Bears, I mean, going on an absolute run. Just some great stuff to hear, especially being Caps prospects. So going to be keeping it interesting in the offseason the next season or two. So go Bears. Go Stingrays, even though you don't have any Caps players on your team. Still, good on you, Stingrays. You're part of the organization somehow. I don't know. You get a participation trophy.
If I had a reason to go down there, I wouldn't mind going to a game. I think they have a bobblehead coming out. Hang on. Within the next game or so, or the next game that it's like State Trooper Night or something. Or no, First Responders Night. And the bobblehead is a first responder, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
I like that.
I liked it when the Capitals had Redding as their ECHL team because that was like a 2-hour drive, but the Redding game was a lot of
Baltimore.
Fun.
Baltimore.
Yeah, I'd love to see that too, but
Baltimore. Do you think they would do it?
No, I don't at all. I think they need a new arena, number one.
Not if you're an ECHL team. They could probably go play at like a Rockville ice skating rink.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think a lot of those ECHLers have different jobs as well. They're not just doing just the hockey. But new arena, and I don't know if Baltimore, like, the Capitals would have to be the NHL team in order for...
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I got that. Like I'm saying, okay, nothing against South Carolina. You're just kind of far away. So, and it would make more sense if South Carolina work with the Hurricanes, because, you know, Carolina Hurricanes, South Carolina. Like, I really don't have to explain this. It kind of makes sense for it to be local. Now, you could just go to Norfolk or Norfolk.
It's 4 hours away from here.
Three for me. So it's not like that's still closer than Charleston, dude.
Yes.
But if we really wanted it close, it would make sense to be in Baltimore. They're not moving from Hershey. That seems to be a relationship that's great. I'm sure they would appreciate if the Caps would draft a couple more like star forwards, but one thing at a time. But if you have an ECHL team in Baltimore, or you can even put it like Montgomery County or Frederick or somewhere in Virginia, not Norfolk, that's a little closer, be it Richmond or somewhere, like I could see something like that happening, or I'd like to see something like that happening. But Baltimore, I think, would be pretty cool because Baltimore's missing a basketball team and a hockey team to really be like one of the big cities, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's also a thing. Baltimore, I don't know, would support a minor league team because Baltimore sees itself as a major league team. And even though I am from here...
I don't know about that, dude, considering that the Orioles are going to be like this year.
Yeah, I don't know if Baltimore is a major league city, to be honest. But I think Baltimore itself views itself as a major league city. So if they're going to be like, oh, we got a hockey team, oh, it's minor league, like they're not going to support it. Like Hershey, you really don't have much going on except chocolate. So, they're going to support any kind of team that they can get. But I think Baltimore's kind of going to put their noses up a little bit and be like, look, we're a major league town. We've got the Ravens. We've got the Orioles, you know, da 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 da. They're not going to support a minor league hockey team. But I would enjoy it immensely, and I would probably I might be a season ticket holder if that was true.
Well, it's been interesting because when I've gone to see soccer games, be it U.S. or the International Champions Cup, whatever it's called, they sell really freaking well. So if like MLS ever came to Baltimore, I'll bet you it would sell quite well.
Well, the Blast, they don't even play in Baltimore anymore. They play out in Towson at one of the universities. So, I mean, the Blast is the only team that consistently wins in Baltimore, too, and Baltimore could care less. I mean, they're getting more popular because...
You cannot compare MLS to the indoor soccer league.
Right. I know, but like soccer is getting more popular in Baltimore, but they have a soccer team, and Baltimore doesn't support it. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, the Blast, that's fun. We'll go on a school night. you know, if like, because they get discount tickets or something. But in the Baltimorean's mind, it's major league or bust. That's all they see.
Probably.
Yeah. But me, I'm cool with them. I actually enjoy minor league baseball more than Oriole games. Because it's just
the Orioles are minor league baseball. Zing. Kind of. I'm an O's fan. I can say I'm an O's fan. I grew up an O's fan, so it's fine. But yeah, no, we've gotten so far off track. I don't even know where we
were. That is correct.
That's what's going on, down out of the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Here we go. We're going around the NHL. The regular season is wrapping up, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. The postseason is upon us. Coach Dan, tell us, what is going on around the NHL?
Let's start in Tampa, where they signed head coach John Cooper to a multi-year extension. He's currently the longest tenured head coach in the NHL, having started in 2013, which is rather telling about the profession of being a head coach, and that the longest tenure dude has been there for 5 years. Or, yeah, right about 5 years. I think it was like March 20 something. So that's a fun position to have, or job. Another fun fact about that is when you look up the article on NHL.com about this, next to John Cooper is their assistant coach, Jeff Halpern.
Oh, wow.
I saw the article and I was like, hold up, that's Halpern. That's so random. Anyways, Philly signed forward Michael Roffel. He's got a fun name to say. To a 2-year extension, comes with a cap hit of $1.6 million. San Jose's Timo Meier was, I think it's Meier. It's M-E-I-E-R. That'd be Meier. Mayer? Meier? What do you think?
Meier, yeah.
Meier? Yeah, let's go with Meier. He was fined $2,000 for diving slash embellishment, so he's a cheater. Ottawa's Jean-Gabriel Pageau was suspended for 1 game for boarding Vancouver's Ashton Sautner. See, that sounds like a dude, Ashton Sautner. Like, he sounds like he should be in, like, Teen Beat or something. Is that even still a magazine? Name of an actor on the Disney Channel, Ashton Sautner.
Are there still magazines? Like, in...
like, in general? Yeah, because I get them all the time. My freaking house from things I did not sign up for. Like, you applied for a credit card. That means you really want to see what's going on at this store. Like, no, I don't. Leave me alone. Anyways, we'll wrap it up back in Tampa where we started this whole segment, where Yanni Gourde, that's an interesting name, he was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Carolina's Jordan Staal. That's not very nice. Hitting someone in the head, that's rude. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
All right, well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
Don't. Leave me alone. I'm busy. I've made that joke too many times now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple weeks.
It's been a couple weeks since we've had our real recording, because I've been in and out with things going on, had to go to conferences. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things, like how Don Cherry's an idiot. Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about? Well, I talked about this on Twitter, so this is a good segue, I guess, about how the owner, Eugene Melnick, I think is his name. He's the owner of the Ottawa Senators. He's a crazy person. Have you seen any of this stuff?
No.
So that some of this might be factually off a little bit, but this is as far as I can remember. So Ottawa's stadium, I think it's Scotiabank, used to be called Scotiabank, I believe. It's in Kanata. That's with a K and a T, I believe. Which is, like, I think 45 minutes outside of Ottawa. So it's kind of like, it would kind of be like if, like, the Skins played in Baltimore, right? Or the Ravens were playing in Frederick, right? Like, it's a hike to get out there. So they're looking to build a stadium, I guess, downtown Ottawa or somewhere near the city. And that whole plan, and I guess the mayor, whoever, and then it fell through, and the Senators sued the city, or something happened, right? Okay. They end up suing each other. So he comes out on, like, a radio interview, which he rarely does, and I can see why. He comes out and he badmouths and, like, threatens the mayor, and he's talking smack about him. Then he talks smack about the Senators fans for not being loyal. Then he's talking smack about Toronto and how they messed up their rebuild. Meanwhile, Toronto is currently in the playoffs with 96 or in the hunt for the playoffs with 96 points, whereas Ottawa has 60 points and is dead last in the National Hockey League. But yeah, they messed up their rebuild because they didn't think about quote unquote defense, according to this Putz. He also was talking, he's an idiot. Like, the guy's just dumb. He's not smart. His team is garbage. He's botched a lot of what they should have been doing. He went and they made a big move to get Matt Duchene. That didn't work. Now he's gone. He's off to Columbus. Yeah, they have I think they have a decent amount of draft picks, but we'll see what they do with them. But right now, they're a joke in the NHL that are the Ottawa Senators. That was earlier in the season. They had players that were talking smack about the head coach, or was the assistant coach? Rather like in an Uber Lyft, and they got recorded, yeah. Right? So this is the Mickey Mouse organization over there that's definitely struggling to happen. This is the head of this Mickey Mouse organization. So he honestly needs to keep his mouth shut. He might need to keep his mouth shut more than Don Cherry right now. That's how bad he's been. But I talked a little bit about that on Twitter earlier. So that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach. And if you like our rambling, if you're still listening to this show, go ahead and check us out at Facebook. Are on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find all about new shows that might be coming out, as well as other fun things that come out related to the Washington Capitals, the NHL, or hockey in general, and things that Brandon thinks are funny. He'll put on there.
It's true.
From time to time as well. It's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed this show and they like our rambling, where else can they hear you ramble?
You can go over to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here. You can check me out on my Baltimore Ravens podcast, The Call. The draft's coming up, so we'll be talking a little bit about that. Like Coach Dan said, go over to our Facebook. We are also on Twitter at What the Puck Pod, so make sure you like us, follow us, do all those things. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, March 28th, the Capitals are in Carolina up against the Canes. Those bunch of jerks. You can watch that game at 7 o'clock, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington or ESPN Plus. Let me tell you, ESPN Plus, have you heard about the deal they made with the UFC?
No.
No?
I was shaking my head. I don't know if you can see that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So the UFC is no longer providing pay-per-views to cable subscribers. You have to get the ESPN Plus app, pay $5 a month to have the app, and then you pay $60 to get the three-hour, what were once, pay-per-views.
So instead of paying $60 to get the pay-per-view, you pay $65.
Well, the pay-per-views used to be $65, but they said we're lowering the price of the pay-per-views to $60. But really,
you've been also paying $5 per month to be able to get ESPN Plus.
Yes. So, I mean, it's very interesting of what they're doing. They're putting the entire promotion, league, whatever you want to call it, behind a paywall. So if you were a UFC fan at all, you have to get ESPN Plus to still watch UFC. It's very interesting. I've
never watched UFC.
I don't think this is the last sports league to do that.
MLS, so DC United's moved all their games, I believe, online, except for if they're like nationally televised.
Yeah, I can definitely see like the NFL or maybe the NHL saying like, look, if you want to watch games on Sundays or whatever, you have to go buy this NFL app for $5 or $10 a month and watch it there. I mean, there's like the 30 for 30s and other stuff that ESPN's providing, but the entire organization is now behind a paywall. I think this Saturday's, let me correct myself. I think this Saturday's fight night card is on the regular ESPN. So if you have cable on ESPN, you can watch it there, but the majority of the fights are on ESPN Plus now. And now all of the pay-per-views are as well. So yeah, that's interesting to me. I that kind of stuff fascinates me. But anyway, Saturday, March 30th, the Capitals are in Tampa up against the Lightning. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington as well as the NHL Network. And then on Monday, April 1st, the Capitals still enjoying that sunshine, that Florida sunshine. They are up against the Panthers. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then we'll be back to talk all about it. Two games left after that. What a stretch here. Look, you got the Hurricanes, Tampa, the Panthers, Montreal, and the Islanders. Besides the Panthers, those are all potentially teams that the Capitals could see in the postseason. So, not an easy stretch whatsoever for this team.
No, and I like it. I like that they have a rough end of the regular season because it get them ready for the playoffs.
Exactly. So,
I mean, or it could cause them to bottom out.
I don't think so.
Let's hope it's not that.
All right, that's it for that's it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.